I'm Adam Beasley here on the Pro Football Network Miami Dolphins podcast, joined as always by Dolph Freaky. What's up, Allie?
What's up, Adam? How are you?
I'm great. I want to get right to it because we have a very special guest this week, a longtime friend of mine. I've known him. I have connections to Baltimore. He is the Baltimore Ravens athletic beat writer, Jeff Zeribek. And obviously, we have Jeff on this week because big news today from out of Dolphins land. Odell Beckham Jr. has signed his contract, 1 year, $3.5 million contract with escalators that can go up over $8 million. We don't know down in Miami what we're going to get out of Odell, but our next guest kind of has a pretty good idea because he saw what Odell had in the tank last year. Jeff, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
Sure. First question, what did you think the Ravens were going to get out of Odell last year, and what did they actually get out of him?
I think, look, there's so much made over how much they paid him, you know, the $15 million guaranteed. But I think that's kind of lacking in, you know, context, because if you look at the contract, they needed to get Lamar Jackson to the bargaining table. And, you know, Eric DaCosta had met with Lamar Jackson, who was in the middle of a contract disagreement with the team. Early in the offseason, Eric went down to South Florida, the Ravens GM, to meet with him. And one of the they had a candid conversation about the team, what Lamar thought. And one of the things Lamar said is he wants to add a couple receivers. And one of the guys he said was Odell Beckham Jr. He wanted to play with Odell Beckham Jr. DeAndre Hopkins was on that list. And he mentioned a couple draft guys, too. So I think part of the Beckham signing was not only did the Ravens need a receiver, but they also needed to get Lamar's attention and let them know that they were serious about, you know, making him happy and building the offense around him. So that was always going to be part of it with Odell Beckham. They paid part of that contract to get Lamar Jackson's attention and to make him happy. And, you know, who knows how that resulted into the contract that Lamar eventually signed. But that certainly was part of the breaking the ice process. As a player, Odell Beckham showed in flashes that he could still be productive, still runs good routes, still has great hands, still flashes, is a smart player, can drew a bunch of defensive PIs. You know, I just think from a weekly standpoint, he's obviously not that guy he used to be. But how they use him and as a complimentary guy, I still think he has plenty to offer. You know, he didn't play up to the $15 million that they paid him, but they also didn't give him an opportunity to really, guys. I mean, if you look at his snap counts for the entire second half of the season, he was playing anywhere between 40% and 55% of their offensive snaps. And this is a run heavy team. So I think he had more to offer than what they gave him an opportunity to produce. You know, as I said, I think if you have understand and keep expectations in check about who he is at this stage of his career, I don't think the Dolphins are going to be disappointed at all.
I think that's what a lot of us fans are hoping to hear. You know, he's still got some gas in the tank. You know, we know he's not, you know, the very the consecutive, you know, Pro Bowler that we had seen, you know, back in like 2014, 16, around then. You know, a lot of time has passed since then. So for me as a fan, you know, it's great to hear that, you know, we think we can still get some productivity out of him. I mean, essentially with $3 million for this, you know, 1 year, for me, I feel like that is, we basically got him for free. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think it's a great fit, especially at that price, especially in that role. We know with Hill and Waddle, those are the guys, and for Beckham to kind of be come in and be a complimentary guy on a very creative, pass-friendly offense, I think that's a really good fit for him. It sounds like that's exactly where he wanted to be. I think he'll be productive in flashes. I don't think there'll be any, you know, huge breakout games, but I think there'll be moments in the clutch on third downs in the red zone where he makes big plays. Yeah, I mean, he showed last year he was plenty capable of still doing that. I mean, from a production standpoint, in terms of what the opportunities he got, as I said, I don't think the Ravens could have been too disappointed with what he did in terms of the opportunities. So, and again, we haven't even talked about the locker room role, which I think will be, you know, I think will be pretty, that's all part of his package. You know, just an absolute beloved guy in the locker room. I think he'll help younger players. I think he'll help Tua. You know, I love the fit. When I knew he wasn't going to be back here, we've known that for a while. But when you look at potential fits for Odell Beckham with where he is, I always thought the Dolphins made, you know, the most sense.
We're joined by Jeff Zrebeck, who's covered the Baltimore Ravens since 2011. Yeah, I was going to ask you about the chemistry aspect. I mean, it's a delicate balance in the locker room. Is he a demand the ball kind of guy? I mean, he has this flash, he has this style, but is he going to make waves if his usage isn't what he thinks it should be?
Look, I mean, we all heard stories from Cleveland. That obviously didn't go well. We all know how his New York Giants experience ended. I think he's a different player in a lot of ways at this stage of his career. I mean, he said it. And I think he loved everything about Baltimore, the team, the coaching, other than the fact he wasn't getting the ball as much as he would like. And, you know, once or twice during the year, I mean, I think you saw some frustration on the sideline, a thrown helmet here. There's times you could tell he was clearly kind of frustrated, feeling like he had more to offer and there are more ways to help. But not once did we see or hear an example of him being a problem. He was beloved in that locker room. The players loved him. The coaches loved him. Eric DaCosta, the GM, loved him. I mean, he handled himself incredibly well, talked up Lamar Jackson, his teammates, at every chance he got. You know, he made clear, look, you know, he handled it great. And, you know, he would say, you know, I wish I was doing more. I wish I got a chance to be more productive. But he didn't say it in a divisive way at all. And I think he's really grown up a lot in that way, like most players do. So, you know, there'll be more opportunities, I imagine, for him in Miami. But I also think he's past the point where he has to be the number one and two option. I think that, you know, I think that was an earlier in his career thing, and he's grown out of that, and he has a better idea of who he is as a player and who he is as a receiver at this point.
Yeah, it's important to us at this stage in the game to really have someone to develop our younger guys. You know, we just drafted two new wide receivers, Malik Washington and Taj Washington. And so we know that leadership is going to come into this very strongly for us going forward and having a relevant team in the next couple of years. So do you feel that Odell is ready to take on that leadership role and help lead these younger guys?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's part of what he loves. I mean, there's still an aura about Odell Beckham. I mean, he's still Odell Beckham. And you know, this guy was once one of the faces of the league, and he's still a lightning rod. And you know, when he's going to do his thing off the field, go to the Met Gala, do all that stuff. I mean, he loves having a good time. Miami will be a great spot for him. But when he gets into the locker room, you know, he's pretty unanimously liked around his teammates. And I mean, you'd hear that. You'd see him talking to practice squad guys. You'd see him talking to defensive guys. He had a good relationship with Lamar. His locker was last year was right next to the Ravens' first round receiver, Zay Flowers' locker. And they would talk all the time. There'd be times where Odell was talking to Zay before Zay had to meet the media, which you could probably tell he was probably giving him some advice on answering some questions. I think he is. I mean, everywhere he's been, I know it hasn't always worked out, but teammates loved him. He's very generous. He's, you know, and that includes with his time. He's willing to talk to younger players and to give advice. And I mean, that goes from receivers to any position, really. I think, you know, I think anyone in that locker room last year, the Ravens, will tell you that being around him was a pleasure and they really enjoyed the time he spent here.
Jeff, I don't think I've seen you since, maybe I saw you at the combine, I can't remember, but I really haven't talked to you much since that penultimate game of the 2023 season for the Dolphins. Certainly they had their entire fate in their hands and they could not have laid more of an egg. I wanted to get your thoughts on the two directions those franchises have taken since that day.
Yeah, you know what? I think we all expected it with the Ravens that they were going to get hit pretty hard and, you know, in the offseason. They obviously, you know, from a frustration standpoint, I think some of their fans are feeling it. Last year was kind of, I'm not saying they're not going to get a chance, another chance at him. As you well know, they build to perennially contend. They don't build just to be, you know, in it for 1 year. But last year, as you guys saw, and I mean, they did the same thing to the Detroit Lions down the stretch, and that was a good Lions team. I mean, when they got going and got downhill, I mean, they were just rolling people. And unfortunately, they've had this habit in recent years where they get into the playoffs and they just, I don't know, they get away from their game. You know, Lamar Jackson struggles a little bit. I don't know, the coaching helps, you know, in a way. They abandon the run a little too much and they sort of get away from what made them great and during the regular season. And I think we saw them overcome it in the first round against the playoffs against Houston. First half, they did it again. They're throwing the ball over the place. They didn't look sharp. And then they kind of got back to themselves in the second half and they ran the heck out of the ball and ran them off the field. But then they kind of fell back in it against the Chiefs. You know, give the Chiefs credit. I mean, they've been there. They're clutch. And Chiefs kind of played their game while the Ravens completely got out of their game, you know, took a bunch of penalties, got away from the run. So it was a disappointing end to the season because I think a lot of people felt the Ravens were the best team in the league last year. I mean, they were a team that went into San Francisco and beat them by multiple scores. I mean, so it wasn't just the Dolphins. And then, so I think everybody knew it was such a huge missed opportunity for them. And they were healthy. They had so much in their favor and they just kind of laid an egg in the AFC Championship game. And then, I mean, they've lost 14 or 15 free agents, guys. That's going to hurt, but we knew that was going to happen. I mean, with Lamar's contract getting bigger and, you know, Eric DaCosta has been pretty upfront. Like, look, we're going to lose some guys. And then their coaching staff and the Dolphins, you know, have Anthony Weaver, obviously. Their coaching staff got just raided. And I honestly, I thought their defensive coaching staff, I thought was one of the big stories of last year. Mike McDonald. And, you know, when you have one guy go to be a head coach and three other guys be named defensive coordinators, that's a pretty good defensive coaching staff. So they have a lot to overcome this year. I know how the season ended for Miami. But I also think there's a lot to feel good about there. I know they also lost some guys, you know, but this is a big season there. I think they're two of the better teams in the AFC. It feels like they're going to have some big games with the Ravens for years to come. I really think the Dolphins, I think some people will probably be sleeping on them because how last year ended and the ongoing skepticism about Tua. But I'm interested to watch how that comes together. I think they're in a pretty good place.
It feels like to me the Ravens are always the thorn in our side year after year. It always comes down to the playoffs with us. What is your opinion of Andrew Weaver? You know, we have a lot of excitability here about him coming in and, you know, changing up the scheme and the guys seem excited. So what is your opinion on him?
First of all, he's just a great dude. I mean, he's just a stud. You know, a former player, just oozes charisma and leadership. You look at him and he's jacked. He looks like he could still go on the field and play. You know, holds players accountable, but also can relate to players. I think he sort of, you know, when he got his first shot as a defensive coordinator in Houston, I mean, that team was a mess. He wasn't in a winning situation there. And it's good to see him get another opportunity. I think the Ravens knew he was going to be a defensive coordinator and he wouldn't be there long if he wasn't going to be their defensive coordinator. So I think they're in good hands with him. Great communicator, you know, has a way of teaching, great work ethic. That was a really good hire by Miami. I think the players are really going to enjoy playing for him.
Jeff, we know you got a run. You got a prior commitment. We appreciate you taking the time. I just looked to double check. No Dolphins Ravens on the regular season schedule this year, but hey, maybe we'll get, who knows, a preseason joint practice. Maybe we'll get an AFC championship game. Certainly that means the Dolphins would have won that playoff game, which would be a nice change. They haven't won one since I think 2001. The Ravens are in it every single year. Jeff, best of luck this year. Really appreciate the time.
Thanks guys. I appreciate it. Maybe we can talk chat if they meet in the playoffs.
For sure. Yeah. Thanks for joining.
Sounds great. Why don't we hang tight, Dolph Riki, and talk a little bit more Dolphins football?
Yeah. So this week we were anticipating a schedule release. I know that's my favorite day. And we were waiting, and then, you know, all these rumors and this and this and this, and then only to be told yesterday that the schedule will not be released until Wednesday, May 15th. So here we go. The anticipation is building once again. I got my little calendar all set up and ready to go with all my days I need off for PTO. So this is very exciting. And, you know, we already know who our home and road opponents are. So I'm excited. I don't know what your thoughts are on the matchups that we have this year, but I know I'm definitely looking to travel to some big games this year.
Yeah, I just called it up because you have an idea of what the opponents will look like, and then the schedule release comes up.
Yeah.
Months after the season ended and the last time we wrote this, and there's some surprises on here, actually.
Yeah.
Their home games are against these Arizona Cardinals. That's obviously a rarity to have.
Yes, that's
Arizona,
rare.
Come here. Kyler Murray has never mm-hmm. played at Hard Rock Stadium, so it'd be interesting to see him down here. That's a franchise in flux, obviously. You know, you got your three divisional opponents, as always, Bills, Jets, and Patriots. Additional home games. The Jacksonville Jaguars, they mm-hmm. are a team in transition as well. I most thought they should have made the playoffs last year, only to blow it and let Houston sneak in. The Raiders, that team is kind
We've
of
always got the Raiders coming to Miami, it feels like, every year. And it's yeah. crazy because it's such a big family rivalry for me and my father-in-law. We're always going at it about the Raiders, and yet we play it like every year. So that's always fun. But those fans are a lot of fun to come. They love to tailgate. Their outfits are extreme, guys. If you've ever seen some of these Raiders fans, like, you just cannot believe. I can't even say it's like costumes. In fact, there's a Raiders friend of mine, Captain Jack, and he's like, it's not a costume, it's a uniform. But they take it very seriously, and I love, love, love having them coming to Miami.
Yeah, so I mentioned three divisional opponents. Mm-hmm. Defending NFC champion San Francisco 49ers.
Ow.
The storyline galore there. It'll be interesting to see how Kyle Shanahan, not the first time he's faced Mike McDaniel. Remember the first time those two coaches faced off, longtime friends and colleagues faced off, was the Brock Purdy premier game. It was the first, I think Jimmy G got hurt in that game, Dolphins, Niners. And it was a changing of an era. Certainly, sometimes the best things are the worst things, and that was one of the worst things that we thought could have happened to the Niners. Ended up being they uncover their quarterback of the future. And the final opponent of 2024 will be the Tennessee Titans. Mm-hmm. Will be some revenge on the minds, perhaps, of Dolphins fans, certainly the players.
Oh, yeah. we need our revenge for that last game. Man, I sat in Nashville, and it was 32 degrees, and it was, you know, sleeting, and I was soaked, and it was
I'm talking about the one here.
Oh, you're talking about here?
Last year.
I'm still scarred from Nashville.
No, the one last year when they blew a 14-point lead with 5 minutes
to
go. Yeah,
dude, I don't know how I wasn't even thinking about that, but yeah, that was so detrimental to our season last year. None of us saw it coming. I'll never forget the atmosphere after they just sucked the life out of the stadium, and grown men are crying there in the stands, and yeah, that definitely hurt us really bad.
Certainly the worst moment of Vic Fangio's time in Miami. He is gone. We'll see what plan Anthony Weaver has.
Mm-hmm.
Against the Titans, you know, a revenge game as well for Tyrae Tart, who spent time there, left under the not so great circumstances. He asked for his release late last season. And Aaron Brewer as well spent serious time with the Titans. So there'll be a lot of storylines there. As far as road trips, and I know you love going on the road.
I love going on the road.
Which of these games looks appealing to you?
So I think Houston is at the top of my list. So we've got the Texans, and I mean, I think their weather is going to be better than some of these other teams that we're scheduled to travel to. We've got Green Bay, Seattle, LA Rams. We have Indianapolis and Cleveland. So like a lot of that cold weather stuff is not my favorite. So Houston seems at the top of the list, but one, mostly because I have a lot of friends in Houston, and that's like a really good fan atmosphere and, you know, great stadium to travel to.
Have you been to SoFi out in LA?
I haven't yet. And I know we've had so many opportunities, but it's such a big trip for me. And with the kids, like, I would need multiple days off, and, you know, with sports and the school year and everything, it just makes it more complicated. So maybe this year. I really, really want to travel a lot this year. So I put work on notice already. I'm not going to be around much. But yeah, Houston's definitely on the top. And then I've never been to Lambeau Field, so I think that's a big one as well. But I know it's going to be cold, so.
Yeah, no, well, who knows when they will schedule that game. I mean, a lot of these cold weather venues you hope for early in the season. Buffalo last year was a nice break because I feel like I've gone to Buffalo in December or January every year of my life.
Yep.
But like, look, Dolphins are going to have cold weather November, December games. Ready? Maybe even January. At Buffalo, at Cleveland, at Green Bay, at New England, at New York. Seattle can get a little bitter too. It's not going to be the snow, but it's not going to be pleasant. So
rainy.
This is, you know, honestly, I think it's a good thing, to be honest, for considering how their season ended, how they literally froze in the biggest moment of the year last year out in Kansas City. I know you skipped out on that. You coward. I was there.
I know. But at the end of the day, like after hearing all these people with amputations and everything, like still ongoing health problems as a result of that game, like I am truly glad that I didn't go.
Yeah,
as much as I feel less of a fan for not being there, and like props to the people who did go and suffer that out. I will say that it was an excellent day for me and my fan club here. The Southwest Florida Dolphin Club had the most epic watch party ever. We had fake snowballs. We made it feel like Kansas City, and we didn't freeze at all, but we had the best time. So, you know, it all worked out for me.
Yeah, I have
aside from the loss.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was kind of baking a cake. You had a you had a sense that as soon as that game was announced, like,
We dug our own grave. I mean, there was no reason why we weren't playing Buffalo and Miami, let's be honest. And, you know, it sucked to go back and play that game and like, oh, if we had won against Tennessee, you know, if we had, you know, beat Buffalo, things would have been so different, but it is what it is.
Win one of the last two games, we obviously just talked about the Ravens loss. But that or Buffalo at home,
yeah.
I mean, but Tennessee is the most egregious for sure. The Dolphins will have some serious frequent flyer miles that they'll put on the books this year. The longest road trip, aside from the international series, of course, but the longest actual NFL city-to-city road trip possible in the National Football League, Miami to Seattle. That's a long, long way away from South Florida. I made that trip once.
Yeah.
Seattle, great city, beautiful city, absolutely perfect. I was lucky enough to go mid-September. So my wife came out with me. We did a little wine tasting. We did it all. It was a fun trip, but I don't know if I want to do that for like a Thanksgiving game or a Christmas game.
Yeah.
There will be a Christmas game, even though Christmas this year is what, on Wednesday this year, I think? There will be a Christmas game this year, so... hoping again that if I go on these road trips, it won't totally destroy my fall, because it could. This is a brutal road schedule this year.
This is. I mean, I feel like it's a very winnable road schedule, but it's brutal travel wise. So that definitely complicates it for me as well. And then, like with the holidays and like, you know, having kids, it's like it makes it all more difficult. But that would be exciting to be able to travel somewhere for Christmas and, you know, do something different than the norm. So we'll see how it shakes out. I know we'll probably get a couple schedule release leaks, you know, throughout maybe early of next week. So we look forward to that. I don't know exactly what the NFL's plan is, but last year they had done it a little bit where they, you know, released a couple here and there, like the really big games, and generate some excitement. So I can't wait.
Yeah. So I think the league has wisely coordinated with, I can't remember what the word is, but there's a week in May where all the networks kind of roll out their plans for the coming fall. And it's a good opportunity for them to capitalize, because all these shows, CSI, you know, Duluth, whatever it is, they get a fraction of the audience the NFL is. The NFL is the only thing keeping some of these legacy media networks alive. It is the biggest driver of eyeballs, of revenue. And so, yeah, it's smart for the league to catch on that. And I think you're right. I think they will, you know, you'll get three released games on Monday, two more on Tuesday, and then the rest will be like 8 o'clock, I think. What is that, a week from today? Is that when the release will be?
A week from today. Speaking of views and eyeballs, did you get to see the Brady roast?
You know, I didn't. I've seen all the clips on Instagram and Twitter and all that. But I didn't sit down and actually watch it. Did you enjoy
it? You have to. I enjoyed it. So I had tons and tons of laundry to do yesterday. So I'm like, I'm just going to fold my laundry and watch this thing for 3 hours. And it was hilarious. My son kept coming in. He's like, what is so funny? I'm like crying. It was awesome.
That might not be suitable for children, though.
No, it wasn't. He was in the other room the whole time. There's a lot of language. You know, you definitely have to approach it with an open mind. And, you know, of course, now there's a lot of these things, you know, that things that were said during the show, like, okay, was he actually serious about that? Or, you know, did Brady actually admit to cheating? Yeah, Deflategate was a huge topic. And honestly,
the evidence was overwhelming that something bad had happened. So I think it was kind of the funny and right way for him to acknowledge it. In retrospect, it's not going to impact his legacy. No, it's not.
And, you know, I think as a Dolphin fan, like, I've hated him my entire life, but I just have so much respect for Tom Brady and what he's accomplished. And when you know, what was nice about the roast is that, you know, they're celebrating him, but they're also roasting him. And so there's no way that you watch this without gaining some level of respect from him, but it is totally worth the watch, even though it's very long. And I felt like maybe it was a little too long, but it was great. You know, all the guest speakers, they had Gronk speak. Bill Belichick was absolutely fantastic. You'll see a lot of those clips online from Nikki Glaser. She was amazing. Just totally, totally killed it. Kevin Hart, obviously, he's always awesome. And, you know, he put on the whole thing. So highly worth the watch, guys. It's on Netflix. If you haven't seen it yet, I give it 10 out of 10 stars.
Okay. So what'd you think of the Giselle dunking?
I saw this morning that she's very upset, you know, about some of the things that were said about her and, you know, the way that the family was portrayed and, you know, the way that they portray Brady as an absentee dad and, you know, choosing football over her. And, you know, I feel like you have to have some sort of lightheartedness about the situation. You know, he was in an impossible situation, okay? Like being put on this stage with all these people talking about him, you know, the reputation that he's had, like you kind of have to laugh it off, girl. Like I know it's rough, but like we all take it as a joke. We know what it is. You know, we have no insight into what that family has actually been through and what their conversations are. So I understand, you know, she's feeling some sort of way. And I think the only way to like handle this right now is just to be cool about it and laugh it off.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of buy the ticket, you take the ride, right? If you're going to be, she's a billion with a B, billionaire, one of the most famous women on the planet. It's not like, you know, they'd be written on
you. It can't be the worst thing that ever happened to them.
totally agree. I think it kind of comes with the territory. I'm sure she didn't love some of the comments, but hey, don't make off with your jiu-jitsu instructor. And
there was so much of that. So much of that. But yeah, I mean, you kind of put yourself out there for that. And I mean, I just take everything lightheartedly and like in life. And sometimes you just have to. And, you know, we know nothing that goes on behind the scenes. Like, we don't even know if he had spoken to her about doing this previously or, you know, what those conversations were. So, of course, the media likes to change things, change the narrative. And, you know, the fans are obviously not helping this either. You know, I see a lot of this going on in the groups on Facebook and whatnot that, you know, we should revoke his hall, you know, give him no shot at the Hall of Fame and like all this stuff. And like, let's just chill, guys.
Yeah. Totally. It's wild, though, because, I mean, as a Dolphins fan, I'm sure you felt it way more than I have. It's just someone who was sick and tired of the Patriots.
Yeah.
But they're kind of a little bit more likable than they were.
They are.
10 years ago, right?
A little bit. Now that they're minus Bill Belichick and Brady, like they're.
Well, no, I mean, that even that group, like they're. It's kind of like the
A-Rod.
Yeah, it's kind of like the A-Rod post-career rehab.
Yes.
I don't loathe Bill Belichick as much as I used to.
He was quite funny. And, you know, Edelman was great. You know, all of them were really good. It was nice to see the camaraderie that they have with each other. And I don't know. I definitely felt like I liked them a lot more at the end than I did. You know, it's so different, you know, going from the competitive situation to like the real life people, you know, sort of aspect of things. So I find that like the same thing with like the fan bases as well. Like, you know, it's very competitive, you know, in the stands and we all hate each other, but like we don't really hate each other, okay? Like, it's just competitive energy and, you know, that sort of thing goes away once the game situation is over. So, yeah, I felt bad for Gronk at a lot of times because I felt like they just portrayed him to be just so dumb and, you know... I don't really know if he's actually like that. And, you know, some of those things that they portray these people as, like, it might stick with you a little bit. So I felt bad for him. I feel like he was getting a lot of the roasting, even at points more so than Brady was.
Yeah, and Kevin Hart took his fair share as well. So
anyway. He did. As a short person, I feel a lot of that. I feel a lot.
Both celebrity short people, you and Kevin Hart, probably in that order, to be honest.
I wonder how tall he actually is, because I'm 5'1.5", and like I don't even get that like 1 inch. And it's funny because like when people meet me, they're like, I didn't realize you were so small. You look so tall on social media, whatever. I'm like, no, dude, I'm tiny. I'm like almost like an actual legit midget. And well, I wear like heels
a lot. What's the cutoff, right? Under 5 foot?
I think it's 5'11 is, or 4'11 is the cutoff. To qualify as a little person. Political correctness here.
We got to make sure we don't ruffle any feathers here.
I'm one of those people, I don't like to offend anyone. Like, I like to have a good time, but I do not like to offend. I don't like confrontation. So I try to keep it politically correct, at least when I'm on the air.
So we got a big week coming up in Dolphins land. Mm-hmm. Friday, Saturday, rookie mini camp. So first time I'll see. We'll get pictures of Chop Robinson on the field, Patrick Paul, see what the talk about him is, Jalen Wright, a lot going on this weekend. Tuesday will be another round of player availability they make to us. No OTA availability yet for us, but we do get some players via Zoom this past week. It was Jeff Wilson Jr. and Raheem Mostert, who was interesting to get Raheem's thoughts on his contract. He doesn't have any plans to retire. And then Wednesday, a week from today, is the schedule release. So we're gonna have to figure out a best time for us to tape this. I don't know if it should be before or after the schedule release, but we'll figure out something that works best for all involved.
Maybe we should do it after the schedule release, because then we'll have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, maybe next Thursday we'll tape. That's not a bad idea. But hey, you're the busy one here. Like, I'm just kind of, I'm on your schedule, okay?
I am so busy. Like, everybody's trying to get at me right now for like, oh, can you help promote this and promote that? And I'm like, dude, I only have so many hours in the day. Like, I still got to work 40 hours at my real job. And I got kids and like all these
I think
things.
Your priorities should be PFN 1, your kids 2. Your other job 3 and Dolphins commitments 4. I think that's how it should be.
Okay. Well, I've definitely made PFN my commitment. I haven't missed a show yet.
No, we're great. We love having you. It's been a breath of fresh air. You don't want to hear me yapping for 30 minutes every day. So
it's been great to be here. So thank you very much.
All right. Enough of that being nice to each other. Let's get out of here. We'll talk to you guys next week. I hope you enjoyed and have a great week, everyone.
See you again, guys. Fins up.